All right, our text this evening is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. I'll just read this one verse. Galatians 6, 2. It says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. I just wanted to share, I think briefly this evening, something that the Lord's laid on my heart, and that's been something personal for me. And maybe it's just me, but I hope that this will also be helpful and an encouragement to you all as well. First thing I'd like to notice here is at the end of the verse, it says, it speaks about the law of Christ. And I think it's interesting that in the New Testament, the law of Christ is referred to in various different ways. For example, the most explicit or clear, I guess it'd be in John 13, verses 34 and 35, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a clear, plain commandment from the Lord. That's the clear, explicit law of Christ given to us. But in other places, it's put differently. In several places, it's put like this: love your neighbor as yourself. James, in James 2, verse 8, he quotes that, and he says, the royal law, or the law of our king, love your neighbor as yourself. So that puts it in a different way. In Matthew 7, verse 12, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, so therefore do to others as you would have others do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the fulfillment of the whole law. So Paul says, you know, in Romans 13, and also earlier on in Galatians in chapter 5, the whole law is fulfilled in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, and the Sermon on the Mount, the whole law and the prophets, it's this: do to others as you would have others do to you. So these are all just different ways of saying the same thing. But here, Paul puts it differently. He says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, he's saying this bearing one another's burdens, that's just another way of saying love one another. That's just another way of saying do to others as you would have others do to you. That's just another way of saying love your neighbor as yourself. Now, notice this. He says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That is, if you set your heart to do this one thing, when you look around you, every time you see a person that has a burden upon them of one kind or another, if you go out to them and seek to relieve them of that burden and to bear that burden and to shoulder it with them, if you do that, you will fulfill absolutely all of Christ's law. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible. That's a radical statement for a former Pharisee to say. But I'd like to then consider what does Paul have in mind when he says burdens? And one way you can answer this question of what these burdens are that he's referring to is if you look at the immediate context, back up to verse 1, he seems to be thinking specifically of people that have struggles with sin of some kind or another. Because he says in Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. And so burdens may particularly refer in this context to somebody that is having a severe struggle with some kind of sin. But I don't think that this verse ought to be limited to that specific definition. The actual Greek word is rather broad. It just means a weight. So you just get this picture of a person carrying this heavy weight of some kind along. And I think that's the idea. There's a parallel passage, I think, in Romans chapter 15 that I'd like to read, that I think sheds a lot of light on this. Romans chapter 15 in verse 1 says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So you see the same language there, bear. This time he doesn't say burdens, he says weaknesses. But I think it's the exact same idea. And if you remember the context here from this part of the Romans, in chapter 14, Paul was speaking about the brother who's weak in faith. And so I think that's probably what he had specifically in mind is, you know, some Christians that have, in particular here, they had struggles with doubts about what kind of food they were allowed to eat, about worshiping on different days of the week and things like that. And he says, if you're strong in the faith, you ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. Now, some of the translations, they say bear with. And it's the idea of just, you know, being patient with and not condemning. But I think the New American Standard has it more accurately here. It says bear. And it's the same word that we saw in Galatians chapter 6. It's to carry. So you have a person, they've got this burden, this weight upon them, and it's actually going over and relieving them and shouldering and taking upon yourself some of that burden for them. And so even though Paul, I think, in this context is thinking about people who are weak in faith with lack of doctrinal clarity on some things that amounts to being a weight upon them or weakness, I think he's expanding it out even here in Romans 15 further and more broadly than that. Because he extends it. In verse 2, he says, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So he's going beyond just this idea of bearing with weaknesses to actually pleasing your neighbor rather than pleasing yourself. So I think the idea is this. When you look around you and you find people that in some way or another have a weakness, are weaker than you in some way or another, the idea is that you ought to not just be thinking about yourself and how you can please yourself with regard to that person, but you ought to be thinking, how can I help this person? How can I shoulder this burden and carry this burden for this person and relieve them? I think it's interesting that Paul here uses the expression, please his neighbor. I would have expected him to say in verse 2, each of us is to please his brother, but he says, please his neighbor. And I think one reason for that is he's not restricting this just to Christians, but to anybody that has a weakness around you. And of course, our supreme example of what Paul is talking about, both in Galatians and in Romans, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Brothers, if ever there was one who was strong, who bore, not just bore with, but bore the weaknesses of those without strength, it was our Lord Jesus Christ. He came out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. And he was surrounded everywhere he looked by weakness, those without strength. And he did not seek to please himself. But when he saw the weaknesses and he saw people who were heavily burdened by various things, his heart went out to them to bear and to carry that burden and to relieve them of it. Let me just read to you one example from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now that word carried away, it's literally the same Greek word bear. He was bearing their infirmities. The word infirmities is the same word weakness. He was bearing, he's looking around, here's these people who are demon-possessed and sick of various kinds of diseases. These are people who have weakness and who have burdens, and he's taking and carrying them, he's relieving them of their burdens, he's shouldering it with them. That was the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so What are these burdens? When Paul says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ, what is he thinking of? I think he is thinking in the most general terms of any kind of weakness, any kind of frailty, any kind of struggle, any kind of infirmity that people around us may have. I wrote down a few things here. It could be moral failures. It could be people that have struggles with various kinds of sins, like we saw in Galatians. It could be people that lack clarity on certain non-essential areas of doctrine, and they struggle because of that, and our attitude ought to not be to condemn them and just say, well, that's their issue, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to do what according to the clarity I have, but our heart's attitude ought to be to help them and to bear that burden with them, take that burden that they have upon ourselves as much as we can. But some other things. I don't think it's inappropriate for me to include some of these things that I have here. Children. Children are if you have a lot of little children, they're a burden. And children have burdens. They have weaknesses. They're weaker than we are. They wake up sometimes in the middle of the night struggling with different things that you and I don't struggle with. They have weaknesses. And we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. That's why the scripture says, fathers, don't exasperate your children lest they become discouraged. Because children have weakness that needs to be born with. Women, in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, husbands are directed to dwell with their wives according to knowledge or with understanding as with one who is weaker. They have a weakness that God has given to them. It's not any fault of theirs. It's not a moral failure or anything, but their bodies are weakened by God. God has given them a natural, God-given weakness. And husbands are told then, you need to bear that burden, bear that weakness with them. Sicknesses. I mean, we just read the Lord Jesus here. He's bearing the weaknesses, the sicknesses, the infirmities of these people. It could be financial distress. I mean, if you look back in Romans chapter 12, I think Paul is alluding to some of these things. He says in Romans 12, verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. I mean, there are people around us who have needs. They're weighed down with weak financial weaknesses, with financial burdens. It could be various trials that people have been subjected to. In verse 15 of Romans 12, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sometimes people are weeping because they've been burdened by cares and trials, and it's not moral failure of any kind on their part, but God has laid them low, like Job, and they need people to come alongside them and bear that burden with them. So those are just some examples. Now the question is, why is it and how is it that Paul can say, if you do this, if you bear one another's burdens, you will be fulfilling the law of Christ? We know the law of Christ has to do with love, right? The law of Christ has to do with love. And so I think the answer to that question, how is it that bearing one another's burdens is the fulfilling of Christ's law? It's because this is what love by its very nature does. Love, when it looks and sees burdens upon other people around it, its nature and its instinct is to go and to sacrifice in order to relieve the burden of those who are around them. That's the nature of love. It's to relieve burdens. I think, you know, we were just in Romans, you don't have to turn back there, but in Romans chapter 15, we were talking about you who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please, ourselves. That's the attitude of love versus selfishness, right? In verse 2, each of us is to please his neighbor. I think one reason that Paul uses the word neighbor there is he's got the love commandment in his mind: love your neighbor as yourself. I think that's one reason he says neighbor rather than brother there. But how about this, 1 John chapter 3? I'm trying to say that the very nature of love, it's so much the nature of love, when it sees needs, when it sees burdens, when it sees weaknesses, it can't help but sacrifice, if necessary, sacrifice whatever is necessary in order to relieve that and to shoulder that burden. 1 John 3, verse 16 says this, "We know love by this, that he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." So you see, that's just the very nature of love. When love sees someone who has needs, it opens up its heart and it shoulders that burden, even if it requires tremendous sacrifice, even if it requires a sacrifice unto death. Love is willing. There's no cost too great for true love. That's the point. That's why Jesus could say in John 15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends." You see, there's a connection there between love and death, love and sacrifice in that way. Here's a beautiful reference to this, I believe, in the Song of Solomon. In Song of Solomon chapter 8, listen to this. Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 6. "Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord." You see that? Love is as strong as death. What is he saying? He's saying that love is such, its desire is so much to help and to bear the burden and to relieve the distress of those around it. It's willing to sacrifice even unto death. As severe as death is and as terrible as death is, love is willing to even to die. It's as strong. Love is so strong, it's even as strong as death. And in the next verse, verse 7, "Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it." I think the rivers or the waters, if you think of love as a flame, as it says in the previous verse, its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. If you think of love as this burning flame, and you think of all these mighty floods of water trying to put it out, the floods of it, the cost is too great, the sacrifice is too much. It's impossible for the love of God to be extinguished that way, no matter how much resistance and obstacles there are to the exercise of love. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we not? Think, you talk about a great sacrifice. You talk about many waters being poured out upon the Lord Jesus' love. When he, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It wasn't able. The tremendous great difficulty of the sacrifice, the cost was not enough to quench his love. The next part of that verse says, "If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised." There's no cost, there's no sacrifice too great for true love in the relieving of the burdens of those around us. Now, this is the reason why Jesus says things like, if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross and basically die. He's not saying, you know, if you want to be my disciple, you need to live this difficult and hard martyr-like life. No, he's saying that if you really love me, it's going to cost you, because love by its nature is willing to suffer and to sacrifice. And if you really have the love of God in your heart, you are going to sacrifice much for the good of those who are around you. He says, if you love me, or if you love your father and your mother and your family more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your own life more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. That's the connection between love and death, and love and sacrifice. Now, for just to conclude with some application, this ought to radically change our view of the circumstances in our lives, of those around us. When you look around and you see people who are burdened with weaknesses and frailties and struggles and annoyances and irritations, things about them that cause you difficulty to deal with and you just want to stay away, our response typically is to get annoyed and irritated and frustrated. But we ought to instead see, brothers, the Lord has laid burdens and weaknesses upon everybody around us for this very reason, to give love the opportunity to shine. Love does not need weaknesses and frailties and suffering in order to exist. But it does need those things in order to shine brightly. Love shines in the midst of struggles and sufferings and burdens and weaknesses. And that is the very reason that the Lord has laid weaknesses and burdens upon people around you, to give you the opportunity to sacrifice and to take that burden off of them and to display the love of Christ. Listen to this quote from, I just want to conclude with a couple of quotes, one from Amy Carmichael. She said this, and if I remember right, the context was she was, I think this is before she got to India, she was in Japan, and she was rubbing shoulders with some difficult missionaries who had some struggles, and it was provoking her, and she was struggling. What is this? How am I to bear with this and deal with this? And this is what she says. I felt the eye in me rising hotly, and quite clearly the word came, see in it a chance to die. See in this which seems to stir up all you wish were not stirred up. See in it a chance to die to self in every form. Accept it as just that, a chance to die. Now, does that not change everything? When you have for me, often it's children that are, why are they doing this again? You know, but for every one of us, it's different circumstances and different people. If we could see these things not as, why is this happening again? But rather, seeing it a chance to die. Seeing it a chance to love. Here's a burden, here's a weakness that someone has. Here's an opportunity to bear that burden and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. One more quote from, this is from R.C. Chapman. Listen to this. He says, if Paul had much joy in his spiritual children at Philippi, he had much profit, though little joy, by those at Corinth, who by their many evils gave him so great occasion to show the heart of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Here, you think of the Corinthian church, you could imagine Paul, man, what all this labor, and look at all these problems. If only they were like the Philippians. They my joy is made great by how well they're doing. But R.C. Chapman saw, no, this was, it said, they gave him so great occasion to show the heart of Christ. And that is the way that we ought to view the struggles and the weaknesses and the burdens of those around us. It's a so great occasion for us to show the heart of Christ. Amen. That's what I had for tonight.